through my short time on earth, becoming a Christian when I was a teenager, I've never experienced the persecution upon Christians as we have seen in our society, in our world in the last few years, where people are being persecuted for their faith, Catholic faith, Protestant faith, but our faith in Christ, just being Christians. When I was baptized into Christ, it was a joyous occasion. I wasn't thinking that tomorrow I could go to jail. But when we look at the beginning of the church in the New Testament times, it was at a time of persecution, and it continues. And it's interesting to see how God deals with that persecution as far as the church is. The idea of tribulation is the thought. It is the Greek word denotes that which is heavy. It can be persecution, being ostracized this way, being put to death, but it's a heavy weight. And what we see in the New Testament, it was forged out of the problems of persecution because of the word. Jesus warned that because of the word would many people fall away. In Revelation, we'll see the head of those going to hell are people who are not brave enough to stand up for God, along with the murderers, along with the fornicators. Those who are fearful will not be going to heaven. But tribulation and the persecution is part of our life as a member of the Lord's church. This universal body idea that this is something that ought to be ingrained in our hearts. It's just going to be a wonderful life, and I'm glad you're a Christian, and everybody loves Christians. Well, that's not happening in our world today. And the consequences can be deadly. But it comes with living godly in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul said that in 2 Timothy 3:12. Remember 2 Timothy, he's not going to write another one. He's going to be knowing that he's getting ready to die for the cause of Christ. He was going to be that drink offering upon the faith of the people that he served unto God Almighty that he was a bondservant of. But it comes if you live godly. Apostle Paul says you will suffer persecution. You will have that happen in your life. And those who have, we live long enough, that's going to be some form of that's going to happen. But in Acts the 14th chapter, verse 22, Paul has been left after they tried to stone him to death. He's been left as dead, as at Lystra. In Acts the 14th chapter, he gets up and he's going back to those cities. And he tells us in Acts the 14th chapter, verse 22, as he tells them on that occasion, that indeed we must suffer these things. He's confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that through many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of God. I don't want to miss heaven, do you? And we must enter in the kingdom of God. We have no alternative. Well, what's going along with that? There are going to be many tribulations, many weightful things that test you, that we're going to have to go through. And the question is, what do we need? We need encouragement. That's what the church needs in time of tribulation. And notice in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul is suffering tribulation. But what does he say here? He says, who comforted us in all our affliction? There's our tribulation word. But it's translated affliction in some of our translations, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted to God. So God comforts us in those occasions, and we are then able to comfort our fellow brethren. So what's happening is that we are bringing forth comfort in order for the people to endure that temptations, the affliction, the weight of affliction. Look at this together in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 33. The Hebrew writer speaks, we've gone through afflictions, but notice we're together with others. Partly being made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with them that were so used. For ye both had compassion on them that were in bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your own possessions. You know, what you have for yourselves a better and abiding possession than an abiding one. So they were comforting one another. They shared in the affliction that one was going through. That's what the church did early on. There was a words of encouragement in Romans the 5th chapter in verse 3. We're going to suffer persecution. What does Paul tell the saints in Rome they should do? They should be encouraged. It's not only so, but we ourselves also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness. So we're here coming on the scene. We're not avoiding tribulation. We are dealing with tribulation. Say, it's going to make us stronger. We're going to share this together. We're going through this weight bearing of things that are difficult. We're going to be undergoing that. And you know what? This should not separate us from the love of Christ. It shouldn't do that. For he says in verse 35 of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, it's not going to happen. Our anguish, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, sword, even as written, this we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, you're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not going to be separated from Christ if we suffer persecution for his cause. And over again is that we don't avoid the tribulation. We go through the tribulation. But we're here having Paul encourage us. And he says in Romans 12:12, that in connection with being steadfast in that tribulation, we're to be involved to be steadfast in prayer. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. It's not going to separate you from Christ, so persevere. Bear under the weight. It's going to make you stronger. We can share in that together. And when I get comfort from the Lord, Paul says, I can comfort others. And we realize what tribulation, when it comes, we can't avoid it. There is indeed encouragement. Isn't that what's happening in Acts 14:22? He has been left for dead. He gets up, goes to Lystra, Derbe, goes to those places. He said, we must, and if we're going to, must enter the kingdom of God, we're going to suffer many tribulations. And isn't that exactly what 2 Timothy 3:12 is in the context of? When he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 11, leading up to that verse, he is speaking of what happened to him at Lystra, where he gets up and encourages them on that occasion. He's encouraging Timothy. Because in verse 11, persecutions. You just follow my teaching in verse 10. Conduct, person of faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings. What things befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra? What persecutions I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. Even that we're going to suffer. That was encouragement to deal with the reality of the tribulation. Now, there's doctrines today that when the great tribulation comes, that the church will never have to experience that. They will be caught up into heaven and not suffer the period of tribulation. We read about tribulation in the book of Revelation. And all through that, they're going to be given consolation, encouragement, helping them to get through it. But the doctrine is, no, in that great tribulation, they take from Daniel 9, 7 years of great tribulation. The church, because they believe in pre-tribulation and not post-tribulation and not mid-tribulation and not pre-wrath tribulation, all that's a doctrine that men have brought out of Daniel 9 and putting Revelation in it to say that the church is not going to have to go through the tribulations that you read about that are great and horrible in the book of Revelation. My question is, Is that true? I don't believe so. I believe they go through it. And what the book of Revelation is, encouragement to go through it. Not wait. The rapture is going to take us out of this place. And he's going to deal with the Jews again. And then he'll come back and set up the kingdom. All those doctrines that go with that. I just wanted to investigate with you. The book of Revelation, it's apocalypse. It means revealing. It's hidden to us. And yes, there's signs. There's visions. There's terminology that, or see, he said, I signified it. That's how the book opens. It was signified with signs. But there's movements through that book. And there's visions that are seen. And wondering, is the church involved with tribulation in the book of Revelation? Well, Revelation, the first chapter in verse 2, we just say, well, said, is the church there in Revelation chapters 1, 2? And they say, oh, yeah, it's there. In fact, 19 times you'll find the word church there in those first four, but it's silent in the tribulation chapters. The church is silent? I'm going to show you it's there. It's been there going through tribulation in the days of Paul, in the days of the founding of the New Testament church. But who comprises the church in the book of Revelation? Very first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants, even the things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. Jesus gives it to the angel. Angel gives it to John. But it was signified. Signs. Who was it given to? Who was it shown to? Unto his servants. Maybe the servants comprise the seven churches of Asia. That you're going to find the word church in there in these next few chapters. Yeah, that's true. Are Christians bond servants? Paul said, I'm a bond servant of Christ. He was a member of the universal church. We are members of Christ's body, and we are bond servants. We are servants of Christ. And that's seen as a Christian. I know. That's part of the church. The word church is not bondservant. Bondservant is not the word church. But the church is comprised of bondservants. The church is there. And no one doubts that, even dispensationalists. It's there. But in chapter 6 to chapter 18, you'll never find church there. I wonder if we'll find the spiritual body, the church, there. And the reason being is that it had to give encouragement to those going through the tribulation throughout the book of Revelation. Because here in chapter 1, they are already going through it. Revelation 1 and verse 9, I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience which are in Jesus, I was on the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He'll write first to Ephesus, but he's about 75 miles on that rocky island of Patmos. And he was there because of the testimony of the Lord. I am a brother and a partaker with you in the tribulation. They were all, is that going to be future? Or were they all going through that difficulty at this time? Well, I'll tell you what the church of Smyrna was going through. I know thy tribulation and thy poverty, but you're rich. Well, I know you, one day you'll go through the tribulation period. 7 years and we get over it. But it's going to be horrible. And he'll be there to convert the Jews that rejected Jesus. So sometimes they call it the Jewish Israel's tribulation because they're trying to save the Jews now in the tribulation period. But here we see, I know your tribulation. I know what you're going to, and you're going to have some more. Fear not these the things which thou art about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and that you shall have tribulation 10 days. There'll be a period of time. You're going to have tribulation. It's a short time. But please encourage me, John and Jesus. He said, be thou faithful unto death. You're going to die. Be thou faithful, even if it means your death. And I'll give you the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. You may die a martyr. And they were already under persecution. The second death's not going to touch you. You're going to be saved. You're not defeated. The book opens with John being a partaker of the tribulation. The seven churches have letters written to them. Some of them were already going through that, and they're going to go through it again. Oh no, the rapture's going to happen pretty soon. They're already going through it, and they're going to suffer for it in the book of Revelation. That's exactly what we're seeing. And then we come to Revelation 7 and verse 14. This supposed to start in 6 with tribulation period, and from that on you don't have the church mentioned. What do we have mentioned in chapter 7 and verse 14? He says, I said to you, my Lord, thou knowest. Who are these people that are not going to be sealed? They're not going to have to be protected. But they've already gone through these things. Who are arrayed in white robes. Who are they? Whence they come? And I said to you, my Lord, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And what will they be coming out of? Well, they're dead. They come out of the tribulation. And now they can follow the Lord in order to have the eternal life. They shall hunger no more. They'll thirst no more. Neither shall the sun strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them into the fountains of waters of life. And God shall wipe every tear away from their eyes. We'll see that after the judgment in the Revelation 21st and how glorious that is, Revelation 22. They didn't escape the tribulation. They came out of it. They came out of it. And what we see in the book is that I never see the church caught up and miss out on tribulation. It's been there, beginning of the church. It is indeed been there when Paul writes this, or when John writes this, when Jesus reveals this. And what is this to do? It's to give us, through signs, the clear message that you're not going to be defeated by the weight of tribulation or be defeated by death. That's not going to happen. Well, are bondservants mentioned in chapter 1? Who's receiving these letters? They're churches. Who comes out of the great tribulation? God's people. And they're going to have to endure it. And what this book is, it's just one vision after another to encourage them. You be steadfast. You be steadfast and continue. As was read in our hearing, let's go to chapter 6. 9 through 11, no church is mentioned in verse chapter 6 through 18. Really? Well, I tell you, he's describing those who comprise the church. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given unto him each one a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time until their fellow servants, that's our word bondservant, were fellow bondservants, that's people who comprise the church, their fellow servants also and their brethren were brothers and sisters in Christ who should be killed even as they were should have fulfilled their course. They're not going to escape tribulation. In these chapters, they don't have to worry about it. They say, how long? We were killed. Yeah, we know this. They've been going through persecution, and there's going to be others killed. You rest for a while, and in God's time, we will take care of that problem. How long? Well, no, don't worry about it, because all the redeemed have been brought up to heaven. They've already been changed. They have a glorified body. And the dead in Christ rose first. And then those people that were alive, when this great temptation comes, we'll get you'll escape it. At least came out of it. And they were dead. And now they had their robes washed in white, but they're asking the question, how long is it going to be? And that's the question you would be asking. How long can I endure? And you can keep on enduring. Because he's going to take care of that problem of what they're doing to saints on earth in the book of Revelation. Secondly, there was a ceiling of 144,000. Now that, we're over here in chapter 7 again in verses 3 and 4. When he says, I saw four angels standing, verse 1. Verse 2, I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice unto the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He said, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God. Who are those? Well, those are people who comprise the church. They're God's people, their family. We're going to have to seal the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I had the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed of every tribe of the children of Israel. So we said, well, this literal Israel that's being talked about here. But he said, I don't want you to hurt not the earth yet until we seal the bondservants of our Lord. Well, we've already who are the bondservants? That's people who are following Christ. They're not just, well, they're just Jews. No. Here's a scene of the 140,000. They are the redeemed that are still on the earth. They need protection. That's what brings in chapter 7, verses 13. Follow. They don't need protection anymore because they come out of the tribulation. They're dead. They're going to follow their shepherd to the fountains of life eternally. But I tell you, who needs protection? Who needs identification? Who needs encouragement? Are the redeemed of the earth. And he said, no, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, where's Dan and Ephraim? Where's that in this list? It's not there. Reuben, you know, is the firstborn. How come Judah is mentioned first and then Reuben? What is it about the idea of Ephraim not being there? Well, Joseph and Manasseh are, but it's not Ephraim. You look at these passages, 1 Kings 11, 26, 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33. Through the tribe of Ephraim, you got Jeroboam the first encouraging people to turn unto idols. You got Dan that goes to the north country, and from that standpoint, he in Judges 18 turns to idolatry. God hates idolatry in the book of Revelation. That's abomination. It is something that the people are doing, and Christians are standing up and fighting against that. They're being strong in the faith, and they're being killed for it. And they've got a Roman Empire coming with its leaders, and it's going to continue until 325 A.D. But here in 96, 97, 100 A.D., they were undergoing persecution. They started having persecution under Nero in 67 and 68 A.D. Persecution's always been part of the church's issue. But all of a sudden now, we read from Revelation, they're going to be taken out of here. And they're going to go to heaven. And then they're going back and renew the kingdom with Israel. I don't read that. Because we're already a kingdom of priests in the first part of Revelation, chapter 5, chapter 1. Kingdom? Doesn't exist yet. Oh, it does. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, it's there. And we're priests, but we're also bondservants. And they needed that protection. And what did he see in verse 9? These things I saw, behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation, tribes, tongues, peoples, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands, they cry out, saying, salvation unto our God who sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. Who are these? Verse 13. They're arrayed in white robes. Who are they? Now notice they come out of the great tribulation. You want the great tribulation period? There it is. That's great tribulation. They washed their robes white, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're following Him, and here in that, going through that, coming out of that tribulation, they're now safe with the Savior. And point is that God's people are going to have to go through it, but the redeemed on earth at a particular time will have to do that. But they're being encouraged how to deal with that. Revelation, the 12th chapter, we've got a woman, which is spiritual Israel, which comes out of Zion. And she's not going to heaven. She's going to the wilderness. You think wilderness is heaven? And she's going to be there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, 42 months. It's going to be just half of that persecution that's there, or that time frame. And we said that church is no longer there. Well, who is this woman? In Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 6, a great sign was seen. We're now right, we've got to be in the tribulation period now, chapter 12, surely. Chapter 18, 19, we're going to have the battle of Armageddon. It's going to be over. A great sign was seen in the heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon all heads 7 diadems. His tail draweth the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon standing before the woman that is about to be delivered, that she was delivered of, wanted to devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was taught, was caught unto God and unto his throne. He caught up and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there may be nourish her 1,260 days. Not a full period of defeat, partially. The woman is in the wilderness. The man-child who's going to rule the nations, which is Jesus Christ, is caught up to the throne of God. He ascended upon high, where he was at the time of the writing of this book. What was that a picture about? Well, I'll tell you, it's about Mary. She's the one that gave birth, that's right. But that's it's broader than that. It's broader than that. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 66th chapter. And Isaiah prophesied of something that is just unusual is going to happen. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Oh, that Jesus was born of Mary, but a land was born in one day. Shall a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, it's not Mary. It is Zion. It's God's spiritual family being set forth out of this mother, Zion. And she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the earth, shall I bring to birth and not cause birth to come forth? Shall Jehovah, shall I cause that to bring forth, shut the womb, saith God? No, it's going to be born in a day. God's people were born in a day. Out of Zion, we find the spiritual Israel. And now, what have we come to in the church in Hebrews 12? You come to Mount Zion. You come to heavenly Jerusalem. Come to church of the firstborn ones. We receive a kingdom that lasts forever. We're translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. The kingdom is there. The church is not going to come back after being exalted to heaven and come back and set up a kingdom on earth. That's what the book of Revelation is supposed to teach. It doesn't unfold that way. It says the tribulation is not going to be complete, but I will protect you. And what he's going to do with the earth, he's going to bring judgment upon Rome. He's going to bring judgment upon idolatry, upon those who are killing Christians, which are Jews, who sit there and said they're Jews, but they don't. They lie. They're a synagogue of Satan. All through the book of Revelation, you're looking at the people of God are going through the tribulation. They're going to be saved from the wrath of the Lamb. They're going to be saved from the wrath of God that's going to come upon the earth and defeat the kings. And that's what you see in the battles. That's why you say ships are destroyed. Only a third of the earth, only a third of the ships. It's not a complete thing. And they still do not repent. Read that as you go through the book. It comes on the earth and they still don't repent. But he's fighting the battle for the Christian. And they're having to go through it. And they're being encouraged. God will protect it. We won't be hurt by the second death. But that's not all. The only place we read about the 144,000. In Revelation, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 5, where God's bringing, he's going to bring his judgment upon the earth and the unbelievers and so forth, and bring forth into nations who have put to death Christians. In verses 3 through 5, we read, and they sing. He said, well, that's the 144,000. No, they're learning the song. They may sing it. I don't know. I saw and behold the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion. The victory of spiritual Israel. Not with a battle with all the nations of the earth and the Russians and the Chinese. It's that Rome was speaks about the great city that's fallen. Not the holy city. It's a great city. Full of idolatry. Representing that Babylon, who indeed incarcerated God's people. And he uses imagery from the Old Testament to help those who are now God's people. And 144,000 are those having his name, the name of the Father, written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, as the voice which I heard was as the voice of harpers harping their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. Yeah, they've gone to heaven. No, they're still here. They've been purchased out of the earth to be saved. And he's standing on Mount Zion. And they're learning about this. And they are going, so they are not defiled with women. They're virgins. They're not going to be going after idolatry. For they that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men. Not purchased from tribulation. But purchased men on earth from men, and the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb, and their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. 144,000 earlier were those who were on the earth. They needed to be protected. They were sealed. You need to realize we're not defeated. And all through here, they're getting encouragement after encouragement. You can go through those difficulties. You can go through the tribulation. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Now has come salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. He accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. They just missed out on the rapture, didn't they? No, they love not their life even death. They're rejoicing, woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down unto them with great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. And what the devil did in chapter 12 and verse 13, the dragon saw that he was cast down the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. He went after Mary? Or did he go after the people of Zion? 144,000 are learning that. And what we begin to see is that here are the people in Revelation, the 12th chapter, they're going to go after her. And there was given the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly unto heaven fly into the wilderness, unto her place, where she was nourished for a time, times, and a half time. That half of 7 years, 3.5 years, 42 months, time one, times two, half a time. Got 3.5 times years from there. We think of but from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon waxed wroth, and the woman went away to make war with the rest of their seed. See, the woman is spiritual Israel. The mother Zion. And to keep who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. I thought we were right in the persecution, tribulation period, and I thought the church wasn't there. Well, they follow, they keep the commandments of God, and they hold to the testimony of Jesus. We've already seen they were bondservants, and the devil has cast the earth to try to get them. It's a devil working through nations, through idolatry, through greed. That's who gets the wrath of the Lamb. And what God, the Lamb, and God, God is on his throne, and Jesus is the Lamb, is joining him. And they have their throne, both God is recognized, and the Lamb, who had the ability to open up the seals so we could see how long. And he's just going through. Those people are learning the song that salvation is ahead of them. And that's what's taking place. And the devil in chapter 12, that is, well, there's no mention of Satan in the tribulation period. Well, in these chapters that you said the tribulation is found, I say Satan is mentioned. Now, Satan not being defeated is not mentioned yet. He's not talking about being defeated, but that's the story unfolds that is going to happen. But they're learning that song. And they see in verse 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, and that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Are they still dying, being persecuted with tribulation? Are these the Jews that have obeyed the gospel and already fallen away because the church is gone? Raptures happen because it happens pre-tribulation. Now you begin to realize maybe I might be a post-tribulation person. I'm not putting in a box of anything. Whether you're a preterist, whether you're a futurist, whether you're historical, there's things still in the future. There's things historical. But the whole point was my people need encouragement as they go through the weight of tribulation, even their death. And the book from the beginning to the end stresses that. And we can't see it because we're blinded by the false teaching of men. We'll go to Revelation 20, the battle's fought. Jesus Christ wins. He don't tell the details of the battle. He just tells us it's done. In Revelation the 20th chapter, verses 4 and 6, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worship not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark on their foreheads upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. There's your victory. And therefore, we've got to have Jesus coming to set up his kingdom. The problem is the church that you don't see in Revelation, you don't see as the kingdom in the first place. So you've got to have him set up a kingdom. We're already a kingdom of priests. We're translated to his kingdom. What he's doing is that he's defeated the enemy of the earth that's persecuting the Christians. He's brought Babylon the Great down. All the kings that serve Babylon the Great, their financial things, all those things have gone away. And it's still through these chapters, they still did not repent. But what happens? These souls they saw, they live and reign with Christ for this 1,000 years. A long period of time. But that's not the end of the story. They haven't had the resurrection, I mean the death, the judgment of the great white throne here in Revelation 20. You've got some more going to happen. It's not the utopia that won everything. It's over with. When 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. That's a period of time, length of time, but it's a definite period of time that will end. Satan will then be loosed again. He's not through yet. And there's going to be more tribulation. And the enemy will be Gog and Magog. Old Testament reference is still going on. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. Oh, now that's the church? Or that the kingdom? Because we got it set up as kingdom 1,000 years over. We still got battles to fight. And Revelation is saying, yeah, it's going to keep going. And every generation is going to happen. And we'll have to deal with that tribulation. And he says they camped this around the saints about and the beloved city, and a fire came out of heaven and devoured them. We're in heavenly Jerusalem. All of that is there. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where also the beast, that's the Roman dictators, and those would follow. And the false prophet encouraged people to serve idolatry. They should be tormented night and day forever and ever. And we stand before the great white throne. And those who have died are resurrected then. These are people raised. Their cause, their people's cause was resurrected. This is the first resurrection. And you won't be hurt by the second death, which will be the judgment at the end. The kingdom has already been set up. And as the kingdom has been hurting, because it's comprised of bondservants that follow Jesus. And what God does is just go through this whole book, and after realizing the torment and the tribulation that's upon God's people, he gives them encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. But one of those is that, hey, the rapture's happening. But many religious people believe that. But when you see the book of Revelation and say the church is not in the tribulation period, I think they've missed some things that are pretty clear to see. And I hope we'll see that. And we'll realize that before the end comes, if there could be more persecution that happens. And our enemy may be Gog and Magog. And of course, God's going to defeat them too. But we will not be hurt by the second death. What is that? The final separation from God. He's not going to give you a second chance. Just interesting in premillennial thinking that when the Israelites, when they refused Jesus, then Jesus had to set up the church because the kingdom couldn't be established. And now we have them getting a second chance to accept the kingdom, and now they finally accept it, and they're all Israel is saved, and will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, after that, it's all going to be Satan going to be loosed again in order to do his work on earth. It's not over yet. And it wasn't over in the very first chapter. They're already undergoing it. What were those chapters about? To give us big battles to talk over and worry. I don't know all the signs and all the imagery there, but I know the story. We didn't cover them all. They're two witnesses. They're two witnesses of God. They act like Elijah and Moses. It's probably Holy Spirit and apostles. Confirming the word, and the streets are filled. They want to kill them, and God resurrects them. He resurrects their cause, and before their enemies, they see you can't destroy the Christian. In chapter 11, they're measuring the temple and the outside of the temple and all of those things, because they're going to let persecution come. Well, who is it coming upon? It was the people who are going through persecution that they need to be encouraged. That God provides a place, and he doesn't take them to heaven. And the story takes them in the wilderness. I never thought of heaven being a wilderness. But that's what it says in the book of Revelation. And I'm just saying that throughout there, I think you'll see the church victorious, realizing we'll overcome Satan, even if it means our death. It's that way in these middle chapters. It's that way with the church of Smyrna. I'll give you the crown of life. Even unto death that you have to go through that persecution and that tribulation. But it's victory of our Lord. And we see the glorious picture of heaven, all of its glory. We get to see the triumph of God's people. And they triumph over Satan by going through the tribulation that comes their way because they followed Jesus and they will not compromise. I hope we'll always be that people. And that when our time of tribulation comes, this book will mean a lot to you. If you're not a Christian outside of Christ, we encourage you, come to Christ. He's the only way that we have into life. He's the only way that we're going to be able to conquer Satan, the earth, and what the earth does to us. We'll be able to overcome all of that because we're connected with the Lord. Why not come and be saved today? Obey the gospel as we stand and sing.